last weekend, the world learned about racist remarks that L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling made to his alleged mistress. Since then, the public and the NBA have condemned him for it.
On Tuesday, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver banned Sterling from the NBA for life and stated that he will move to force Sterling to sell the Clippers. The move was met with widespread approval.
While the public sentiment has been that Sterling's comments were way out of line, one difficult question that's come out of the scandal is, has Donald Sterling's right to privacy been breached?
Are we moving toward a post-privacy world? Well, here to help us address the question is Al Tompkins. He's senior faculty member for broadcast and online journalism at the Poynter Institute. Al, welcome to Central Time.
Hi. Hi, Veronica. How are you?
Doing well. Well, there's general agreement that Donald Sterling's comments were vile on the subject of race. There's been no disagreement there. But there's also a sidebar here that's developing. And the question is that, you know, however odious whatever Sterling said was, the remarks seemed to be private, and that maybe they should have stayed that way. How would you unpack that argument in this case?
Well, it's an interesting one, because who among us hasn't had a conversation with someone we care about or know well, and you work through some difficult conversation? You might not even believe what you're saying when you say it, but it's worth having the conversation. And how would you have those kinds of conversations if you knew somebody was taping you and you knew that it might show up online? I mean, will we ever really have honest conversations about anything if we always know that there's a chance that somebody can shoot it up online? Isn't that the argument against Google Glass? Nobody wants to know that somebody is streaming the conversation all the time. You know, I think it's an interesting one. We still don't know all the circumstances under which this recording was made. Where exactly were they? It appears that it was at a duplex, that some sort of condo that he had purchased. We don't know what the exact nature of their relationship is, although she says the words honey and love a few times. So there are many questions still about these recordings. And I even bristle some, like in the intro to this conversation, when we call them racist remarks, because racism does, in fact, sort of fall in the eye of the beholder. And we, I think that it's one of those kinds of conversations that people have to honestly have. I worry they won't if they think everything they say will end up on TV or the radio or online.
Well, as you said, there were some markers that this was a private conversation, the use of, in terms of endearment, love and honey. On the other hand, you know, we do live in an era where there are gadgets everywhere. There's often some kind of device that could record a conversation or at least an image. Everyone has an iPhone. There are security cameras. You know, in the media and elsewhere, you're told to think that the mic is always on. So maybe people should be savvy. Maybe we are already living in a sort of a post-privacy
era.
In
the media, Veronica, you are. I mean, you know the microphone. You know the microphone is there. And as a matter of caution, that would be important. But let's say you two co-hosts are sitting in your office and you're having a discussion about whether or not you ought to go after a story or an interview. The real important part of that discussion is that you be able to trust each other enough to be honest about your concerns and to throw it around and kick on it some so you come up with a good decision. I mean, that's the way we do business. And that's not license for you to say something that's racist, but it is important that you say things that are honest between colleagues. But even more so, what if you were in your home? I mean, this was in a home. Let's say you're in your home. Don't you have an expectation of privacy? Well, legally you do, that's for sure. And then there's this other issue. California is a two-party state. That means that both parties have to know there's a tape recording going on. There's a significant amount of confusion about whether or not Sterling knew or should have known that there was a recording. There have been reports that have said that she, the person that often was referred to as the girlfriend, is in fact a stenographer, and that her job was to tape him and play back the tapes from time to time so that he can remember what he said. Well, I don't know if that's true. If it is true that he knew or should have known he was being taped, then it's a little easier to suggest that he should have been more circumspect about what he was saying. But still, there's this issue of privacy, and you don't have to like what he said to be able to defend the idea that there are places where you ought to be able to talk about things that don't become public without your permission. And I think that starts maybe at the threshold of your door.
Well, it's an interesting thing because, you know, he's not necessarily a public figure. He's not President Obama, but he is a person of influence in society. He has a fair amount of power, fair amount of money, and he's a person whose opinions matter to a certain extent. Does that make a difference here? The fact that we're not talking about, you know, your average Joe on the street. We're talking about someone who has cultural significance, and maybe there a different measure of privacy?
No question. Privacy is the civil right that works on a sliding scale, unlike no other. So the more public you are, the less legal protection you have under Times versus Sullivan. That's the Supreme Court decision. So it's harder to defame a public person under Times versus Sullivan. So there's no question that it's a sliding scale, and there's no question in my mind he's a public person. That said, does that mean that for a public person there is absolutely no privacy? If that's true, then we might as well just open the doors for every paparazzi to be able to shoot anything you want, walk into your house, tape you in the bathroom, whatever you want. You have no privacy. Is that what we're saying? The courts certainly have not said that, and I don't think that any righteous person would.
You know, this was brought up. It's funny how this story has unfolded, because the first reaction was, you know, general cultural upset about the remarks. And then you started hearing voices who are wondering about privacy. And one of those was a Fox News anchor who asked NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on Tuesday if it was okay for someone to lose their team for remarks that were intended to be private. And here we have an audio clip of that.
Jovian with Fox News, The Kelly File. Should someone lose their team for remarks shared in private? Is this a slippery slope?
Whether or not these remarks were initially shared in private, they are now public, and they represent his views.
So, short and sweet response there from Adam Silver. What do you think about how he handled that question?
Well, he did a good job of handling the question and avoiding the issue. From their point of view, they can't unknow what they know, and that's interesting. Kareem Jabbar said something that I thought was particularly interesting, and that was, he said, why did it take this for people, for NBA owners and the league to get upset with Sterling? Was everything else he did not enough? And exactly the right point. This was a relatively minor thing compared to other accusations and lawsuits that he has come under. So what was it that happened here that tipped the scale? And
yeah,
I think Jabbar is exactly right about that.
Let's try to answer that question. So he has been under scrutiny before for discrimination about properties, about discriminating against minority group members, and yet it's his words, hearing him on tape, that inspired this visceral reaction. What is your answer to that question?
Well, I think it got a very heated. First of all, it was aimed toward beloved players. When you say something in Los Angeles that's derogatory about somebody like Magic Johnson, you're calling down the thunder in a very serious way. So, for starters, you're taking on an icon and basically trashing his name. That's never a good idea. On top of that, he also then has a target on him that's ready for people to pounce on. And then it gets amazing amounts of media coverage. The story is leaked. Of course, it's on TMZ first, and so people have to quote TMZ. They have no independent verification of their own. This story just is made for viral traffic. And then on top of that, we're in the playoffs. And then on top of that, we're in the May ratings book for television. I mean, it's almost a witch's brew of reasons why this story would take off, not the least of which is it's a really good thing to talk about, and that is race relations. That's one of the things that I'm disturbed about, Veronica, is that we haven't still talked a lot about what is it that he said that is so problematic. To listeners of your radio show, I have no doubt that the vast overwhelming majority would say, well, here's why. This is offensive and this is offensive. But we don't forward the understanding of race when we don't talk about it. And I think that that conversation ought to go on as well. Exactly what did he say, and exactly why is that so offensive, is useful, if somewhat elementary. It's still worth having.
And it may still well go on. We're also looking at these issues of privacy in the meantime. Do you think now that we are living in a post-privacy era, in our last 30 seconds here?
I don't believe that, by the way. I don't believe we're in a post-privacy era. State after state after state, for example, 4 hours ago, I was on a phone call with broadcasters in the state of Illinois who are concerned beyond concern that the state legislature is about to make 911 calls off limits to public record. In other words, you wouldn't be able to get a 911 call. And I suspect some of your listeners would agree with that. But there are movement in state after state after state, for example, to close 911 calls as a public record. People are trying to reclaim their privacy in very significant ways, at the same time that we seem to be losing it. This is a red-hot issue because I think that there are a lot of people who are concerned that privacy is leaking away faster than they want it to.
And it's a national conversation that's going to keep on going. Al, thank you so much for joining us today.
Anytime, you bet.
We've been speaking with Al Tompkins, Senior Faculty for Broadcast and Online Journalism at the Poynter Institute.